Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. I know it's a little irregular to have a woman in the pulpit on Father's Day, but I have a father, and we all have a father, and we all have the same Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
You know, our Heavenly Father has been a father from the beginning. God is eternally Father. Eternally, from the beginning, that was the plan. Adam was the son of God. Adam had the glory of God. The glory of God was upon Adam. Adam and his father had fellowship. They had intimacy. They walked together in the cool of the day. Every day, Adam knew his father, and his father knew him. And then one day, God said, "Where are you, Adam?" God's heart was hurting because his son wasn't there to meet him. His son wasn't there. And God said, "Where are you, Adam?" Adam. And Adam said, "I'm over here." And the glory had fallen. The glory was no longer on the son. And so God had to take a new role. He didn't forsake the old role. He was still eternally Father. But now he had to become known throughout the ages, through the prophets, as Jehovah, the Creator. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom. All these revelation names of God were coming down through the ages. But God was still Father, yearning for his sons and daughters. The glory of God waiting to come upon his children. I would like for us to look at a scripture that it's not a common scripture for Father's Day. But please turn in your Bibles Okay, please turn in your Bibles to Colossians 3. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. "But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. When Adam was in the garden, he bowed his knee to the enemy. The glory of God departed from him. He was naked and he knew it. And he was broken from fellowship with God. And God had him put out of the garden. But you know, God always knew who we are created to be. Even though we were born into Adam, we were born into that sinful nature, and we had the nature of the enemy, God did not lose sight of who you are. He did not lose sight of the image that he created you to be in. He created you to be sons and daughters. Jehovah, the Creator, eternally God. In these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. Jesus brought a new revelation of God to the world. Because you see, only a Son can reveal the Father. Only a Son can show us what it's like to have God as Father, to demonstrate for us how to walk it out as sons and daughters of God. Only a Son can reveal the Father. When I was a child, I remember my father in the wintertime, he would get his big coat on and put on his big boots and go out into the snow. And on the top of the snow, it was a bit crusty. And when he would step on it, it would break, and then the powder was below. So there were big holes where his footsteps would be. And as a kid, I tried to step into those holes because it was difficult to walk through the snow. So I'd step into his footsteps. And when he saw me doing that, he made his stride shorter so I could fit. And I would walk behind him. And I would walk in step right behind, in step with my father. I remember that. And I loved him. His back was to me as he was walking, but I remember I loved him. And I was doing what he was doing. And that's what Jesus did. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear him say. He was obedient, and he did not bow his knee to the enemy. He bowed his knee to the Heavenly Father. I also remember when I was a kid, when I was maybe 5 or 6 years old, my brother and sister were younger than I was. And we were in the backyard and we were playing and doing whatever. And I looked back and I saw my father stretched out on the lawn furniture, how you can tilt it all the way back so you can lay flat. Well, there were three other ones just like it. So my brother and sister and I went over to my dad and we're looking at him and examining him. He was sound asleep. So I went up on this little patio where he was and I went to one of the chair lounges and my brother went to one and my sister went to one. And my dad was laying back like this and we all laid back on our individual chairs and we all went like this. And my mother was looking through the kitchen window, and she saw that, and she took a picture. Oh, it's so precious. Because we're just like our Father. We want to be like our Father. We love him. And yes, he's our provider. Yes, he protects us and provides everything we need. But we love him as Father. He spent time with us. He loved us. He showed us. He taught us things. He spent that time. He invested himself into us so that as we grew up, we were looking more and more like our Father, not just in our appearance, even though some of us have looked more like our Father than others. Some of us look more like our mothers. But you know, our Heavenly Father desires to come and live inside of us. He desires for us to know Him, to have that intimacy with Him, to spend that time with Him, to walk in the cool of the day as Adam did with Him. And when we miss out on that, when we don't meet Him, He's saying, Cecil, where are you? Kathy, where are you? Because He's come to meet us as Father. So what is it that draws us away? Why is it that we're like trying to be so self-sufficient? You know, we're trying to be like a teenager and rebel and say, no, I'm my individual person. I don't need my dad anymore. But no, we do. We love Him. He loves us. He loves us more than we could ever know. God is love. God is love. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. So, even if we are off on our own, God's love is still there. God's Father love is still there. So what draws us back? What keeps us from going there? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, which is sincere faith. The goal of the commandment is love. God has showed us through His Son. The commandment is love. Everything that Jesus did was because of love. Jesus was secure in His relationship with His Father so that it didn't matter what other people were doing or saying. He was secure in His relationship with God. You know, Jesus was talking to the people about, if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, if you don't do that, you have no part in me. And the people were saying, stone him, kill him. And even after that, the many, many, many disciples afterwards said, wow, this is like too way out there for us, and they left. And Jesus turns to His disciples and He says, well, what about you? Are you going to leave too? And Peter said, where shall we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. And Jesus was very pleased with that. And He said, yet one of you is a devil. He was speaking of Judas. But Jesus still let him hang out with him. He knew Judas was going to betray Him. But did Jesus like start, you know, shunning Judas? Did He start like excluding him from the group somehow? Did He make him less than? Did He make Judas feel bad? No. Judas was right there, just like everybody else. Jesus didn't let what somebody was going to do change who He was. He loved Judas. And when Jesus was going to the cross, He's carrying the cross. He's walking that Golgotha's path. did he go and he go and he go, and then they crucified him, and then the chief priests and all of those people are saying, oh, think you're the Son of God. Why don't you come down from there? Just prove to us, give us a sign. We know that if you come down, then you are the Messiah. Jesus was on that cross, and it was love that kept him there. Can you imagine? He might say, God, I can't believe that after all I've done, after I've healed, after I've taught everything that you've taught me to say, and after I did all these things, and Barabbas, oh my gosh, Barabbas, really, that's the straw that breaks the Messiah's back. They're ungrateful. Why should I do this? I'm coming off of that cross, right? No, Jesus did not let what anybody else did or said influence his feelings. So often our feelings get in the way, and we think we're justified. We think that we're qualified to say, you're wrong. And we are self-righteous. We have our rights to be right. It's the way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Jesus didn't allow anything else to influence what God the Father and he had already determined, that he was going to become sin, who knew no sin, so that we could become the children of God. Isn't that right? So, what is it that draws us away from this love of the Father that never changes? Well, it says in verse 5, the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience. So if we have a conscience that convicts us of sin, our conscience says, oh, I said something that I wish I hadn't have said, then our heart condemns us. Our heart then is no longer pure. Our conscience says, oh, I'm unworthy. I have shame. I can't come before my Father like this. And we turn, because just like Adam did, right? Where are you, Adam? His conscience said, I blew it. The glory is gone. I can't face my Father. But that's what happens. That's what sin does to us. Our conscience disqualifies us, so we think. Our heart is no longer pure, and we turn from God. And what happens then? Our faith is shipwrecked, because faith works by love. So now our faith is done, and we can't come back to God, so we think. So we're turned away. How do we then get that out? Well, as we've been learning in ABC, we repent. We ask God for forgiveness. We renounce all the evil spirits and demons behind it. We turn to God, knowing that our sins are forgiven. We have that clear conscience again. And if that conscience is still tugging at you, that's when you have to start telling the devil exactly where he belongs. Because if we say that we're forgiven, but we're still turned away, then we've deceived ourselves. But the Bible says that we're clear, we're clean through his blood. That's what it's about. We have forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So, what is the way? Jesus is the way. Does it say that he's the way to heaven? It does not. It says he is the way to the Father. And the Father is in heaven. So many times we just are so anxious to share the gospel with somebody, and we think, oh, you pray a prayer to get to heaven. But that's not it. We're showing them the way to the Father. Come back. You're a child of God. You're a daughter of God. You're a son of God. And because of that, the glory of God now resides on the inside of you. The hope of glory. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Now, you remember in the Old Testament when Moses said, I want to see your glory. And God said, no man can see my face and live. Well, Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He's the Word made flesh. So when we read the Word, we are actually looking into the face of God. And no man who looks at the face of God can live. So what is it that dies? The old man, the sinful nature. As we are looking into the face of God, the old man is being cut away. That's how we take off the old and put on the new. Because God himself will teach you. God himself will encourage you and show you and edify you how to come back into his presence with a pure heart, a clean conscience, and sincere faith. So this is how we become washed with the water of the word, cleansing our conscience, and our hearts are pure. And faith is revived because we have full-on face to face with God. Amen. 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 So we want to look like our Father. When Adam was in the garden, God said, did you eat the tree? That's a simple question. Did you eat of the tree? It's a yes or no. But Adam didn't say, yes, I ate of the tree. No, what did he say? It was the woman you gave me. She's the one. And by the way, if you knew she was going to be tempting me with that, why did you make her in the first place? It's your fault, God. You gave her to me. Right? So there's blame shifting, self-justification, self-defense. Self, self, self. That's a sure indication of the fall of man. Right? That's why Jesus said, if any man follow after me, he must first deny himself. Pick up his cross and follow me. So we deny ourselves. We lay our life down. That's what Jesus did. He laid his life down. And you know, Jesus started out saying, you are my servants if you do what I say. Where I am, there my servant will be. And then a few chapters later in the Gospel of John, he says that, oh, well, you are my friends. You are my friends. No longer do I call you servants. You're my friends because I've showed you everything and you've received it. And then later, a couple more chapters in the book of John, after the resurrection, he says, go tell my brothers. Go tell my brothers. Meet me in Jerusalem. Go tell my brothers. Because God is their God. My Father is your Father. So we've been brought back to that family of God. We are daughters. We are sons. You know, the Bible doesn't always, and there is a place where it says that you are daughters and sons or sons and daughters. But most of the time he says sons, right? So all of us women, we have to include ourselves as we are sons. But that's okay, because all the men out there, you are the bride of Christ. Okay? So we deny ourselves. We lay our life down for one another. When we know the love of our Father, then we know how much we're loved. And then we have that security. We have that intimacy with God. And then we can love ourselves. Because if God loves me this way, oh my gosh, wow. Then our vision no longer is turned inward, but now we're turned outward. Now we're becoming love. The love of which God loves us, we now get to love other people. So now as we love other people, we are manifesting the love of God. We are manifesting the Father. So when we go to pump gas, we are more concerned about the person who's on the other side pumping their gas than we are about the price of gas. We're more concerned about who other people are, that we want to share with them, that they are loved by God. So that our lives now are open epistles, so we could be read of all men. That the goal of the instruction is love. That is what it's about. And if we are manifesting the love of God, people will be attracted to that. They're not so much attracted to what your theology is. If they don't see your life lived out, they don't want anything to do with it. So that's what we do then. We take off the old and we put on the new, renewed in knowledge after the image of Him who created us. So when we come back to that relationship with God as Father, then we've come full circle. Adam was the Son of God. Jesus, being the last Adam, is the Son of God. And we are sons of God. Jesus being the firstborn among many brethren. So we get to be in that intimacy with God as Father. He is our Father, eternal Father, who lives on the inside of you. Amen. Now, we're going to watch a very short video. There she is. And it's going to show you our relationship with the love of God.